Well, I'm excited to be here tonight to share the word God has given me. If you take notes, my title is, Are You Prepared? That's it. Are you prepared? I tell you, God will prepare you ahead of time for whatever you face in life if you will let Him. God's plan for you is that you be victorious in every area of your life and that your life will be honor and glory to Him.
Amen.
Do you know that nothing takes God by surprise? You will never hear God say, oop, didn't see that coming.
That's right.
Wouldn't that be scary if He did? He knows. He knows the future. Well, Jesus, when He walked this earth, He prepared His disciples. He prepared them. He got them ready.
That's right.
He taught them so that they would be able to fulfill the call that He had on their lives. He told them in John chapter 14, beginning with verse 25, He said, These things have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Notice the phrase, bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. And then he goes on in John chapter 16, he's still speaking to his disciples, in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but for whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. Notice the last phrase. He will tell you things to come. We have a wonderful God who knows the future. He knows what you need. And if you will allow Him, He will get you ready. And there's different ways that God gets us ready for what's ahead. God will speak to you through His Word. He will give you a scripture that will prepare you. Now, last Wednesday night, Bob shared a fantastic testimony about how when he had a heart attack and he had died for 45 minutes and then God brought him back to life. But he mentioned something about Vicki, how that 2 weeks prior to that time, God gave Vicki a verse, and it was from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, which said, Women receive their dead raised to life again. And she had been thinking on this verse for a couple of weeks before the heart attack. See, and I thought, how God prepared her. Because, you know, because when you're in the midst of a horrible time and the doctors are saying, you know, he might not ever be the same, she has this verse that women receive their dead raised to life again. What a strength that is. It's one thing if you're in the middle of something, then you find a verse. But it's another thing if God gives you that verse before it ever comes. There's an assurance there that I cannot hardly describe to you. And that's really, that testimony is what spurred this message on for tonight. Because, see, God did that to me back on June the 9th, 2009. I was sitting in a waiting room waiting to have a surgical biopsy done. And I know it was God's plan that it took 5 hours. I was waiting forever. You know, they were supposed to start to do it at 11. It was 3 o'clock, so I was there a very long time. But I think there was a purpose in that, because in that time I decided, you know, I'm just going to read the Bible to be ready. And I just opened, I thought I'll read a psalm, and I just opened to Psalm 118. And, you know, I was really spiritual because I didn't want to read Psalm 119 because that was too long. Psalm 118 was shorter. But, you know, God knows how we work and how we think, and He works with us where we're at. And I read the verse, Psalm 118, verse 17, that said, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And, you know, and it wasn't 2 days later, you know, I found out, call comes, you have breast cancer, and it's a bad, it's going to, you need aggressive treatment, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, when God brought that verse to me, I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Because I had been in the Word ahead of time, He prepared me. Now, I could have found that verse later, but it meant so much more ahead of time. It had a strength to it. And so for the years that followed, every time the devil brought to my mind, you're going to die, no, God told me, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So see, God, He prepares us. He gets you ready for what you're going to face in this life.
Amen.
You know, God will also, here's another thing God will use to prepare you. He will bring books into your life. I have some examples here. I have this book that was given. Mark and I went on a cruise with Jerry Savelle Ministries back in May of 2009. And we rode down on a bus down to the Gulf Coast with them all. And when we got off to get on the boat, they gave us all a gift sack. And in this gift sack, he gave everybody a book called To Battle, Destined to Win. I firmly believe the, one of the main reasons we ended up going on that trip was for me to get this book. Because this book, when I got home, I read this book. And there was a chapter, and the title of this chapter says, Looks Like a Job for El Shaddai. And it says here, El Shaddai means the one who reserves the right to reverse, override, prolong, or accelerate natural laws. In other words, the God of El Shaddai is the one that can do the impossible thing. And he goes on to tell that when you come up against an impossible situation, something that you cannot do in the natural, you should say these words, looks like a job for El Shaddai. So on June the 11th, when we got the call from the doctor and got the bad news, Mark was on one phone and I was another. We put him down and I looked at him and the first words that came out of my mouth was, looks like a job for El Shaddai. Now, had I not been in this book, there's no way those words would have come out of my mouth. But see, God was preparing me. He knew that the first words out of my mouth were so very, very important. Now, this book would have done me no good sitting on the shelf. I had to read it. I had to do my part. And see, this is a large book, but he got that phrase in me that I needed at the time that I needed it. Here's another exciting book, Tongues. It says, Tongues Beyond the Upper Room. This is a very, very special book to me. It was given to me about almost a year and a half ago. This is the book, the last book that my dad gave me. And he said, I remember when I came into the house that day, he says, now, Carmen, this is a really good book you need to read. I got you a copy. I've got one. It's a great book you need to read. Okay, Dad, I'll read it. So I get home. Of course, it sat on the shelf, and I didn't really ever get around to it. I mean, I started a little bit. But you know how life is? You're busy, and I had other books I was reading. Well, about the middle of November this past year, I saw that, oh, Dad gave me this book. So I started to read it. It's amazing. I cannot tell you what this has done in my life. It is preparing me. It is preparing me for the future. It has already made an impact, but I know I'm to study this book because it's going to prepare me for things that God wants to do in my life and through me to help other people and to further his kingdom. This is something God is using to prepare me. And one more book. I'm sorry, I'll try not to get bogged down. Christ the Healer. You know, we've had this book for years. Years and years and years. It sat in our bookshelf looking pretty, and I never looked at it. But this past year, I've started reading it and studying it. And God is using this. Because, you know, if on my dreams and goals that I write down for myself, one of my top things is I want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Well, this is preparing me to do that in a more effective way. So, and it's up to me. How much am I going to get into it? And so I'll be able to be used mightily by God. So see, God uses the word, his word, his wonderful, precious word as we read it. And he'll cause it to come alive to you. But it'll also bring books into your life that you need. Books that you need that will speak life into you. Remember, they don't do any good sitting on the shelf. You have to do something to get yourself in a position so that God can prepare you. Now, here's another way that God prepares you. Are you ready? Regularly attending services. Amen. Regularly being here every Sunday. Of course, I'm speaking to the Wednesday night crowd, but oh well. This is what God gave me. Regularly. And if you're a Wednesday nighter, that's great too, because that just you get a double whammy. But be regularly going to service and attend some special meetings. That's how God will prepare you for it. It says in Ephesians 4:11, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And look, this is it. To prepare God's people. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, God will prepare you as you come in just week in, week out, never missing. You're always here. God is preparing you to be able to do a work for him. You know, attending church is something that I get to do. It's a privilege. It's not something I have to do. Let's say you have invited someone over to your house for dinner. And you're excited about them coming in. So you spend a week cleaning the house. Ladies, you know what this is like. You clean every nook and cranny. You want everything shiny and pretty. You get the yard all all mowed and trimmed and edged. Maybe even plant some flowers. And then you prepare a special meal. You spend all day doing this special meal. You light some candles and everything. Somebody comes over, you know, and you're just so thrilled to have them over. But how would you feel if you found out that the people that you invited didn't really want to come, they just came out of obligation? How would that make you feel? How does it make the Lord feel when you think, I'm just coming just because I have to, or some obligation? Let's don't treat the Lord that way. Coming to church is a privilege. It's a wonderful thing. It's just a lie of the devil to get you thinking you need to do something else. Attending church regularly, it will get you ready. God knows what lies ahead. And it doesn't matter what the minister is preaching about that morning, there will be something in there for you. Something in there for you. John 14:26 said, "He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I have said to you." The Holy Spirit will help you to remember. But He can't bring to your remembrance something you have not heard. John 8:31 says, "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" See, we hear truth as we read the Word. We hear truth as we hear preaching and teaching from His Word. We hear truth as we read good, solid, biblical, sound books. And so that truth, what does it do when you hear it? It sets you free. It sets you free from fear. Sets you free from loneliness. It sets you free from sickness, from financial problems. It sets you free from relational problems of any kind. Whatever bounds you, the truth sets you free. But it can't set you free if you haven't heard it. The truth must be heard. You have to receive it into your heart. And then you can apply it to your life and see results. Another way God prepares you is as you pray. As you pray. As you pray over the things that concern you and your life, God will prepare you and get ready. You know, I remember when I was in school, when it was the day to have a test in a class, that if you were prepared, that to me was an easy day because you go in and you take the test, and most of the time that meant no homework that night. And I love that, no homework. But I remember one time, it was in high school, and I'd studied for a test, and I was kind of uneasy about it. And so I was standing outside the classroom door, and, you know, so I prayed. I said, "Now, Lord, help me with, I don't know. I know I'm not ready. There's something I don't know." And so I prayed about it, and then, as a lot of times students will do, I opened up my book, and I'm cramming at the last minute, because that cramming is really important. So I opened up, and I read a page. And I thought, that's pretty good. And I shut it and I went in to take the test. Well, as I was taking the test, everything that I read on that page was on the test. Now, I'm one of these, when I study, some people can read it one time and they've got it. That's not me. I have to read it and read it and read it and go over it and over it and then write it. And then I've got it. But I read this one time and I caught it. Why? Because I prayed and the Lord helped me to remember. See, I had done my part. I'd studied the best that I could. But, you know, God helped me because I prayed. And when you have something that you come up against, you need to pray. God will help you. He'll prepare you, get you ready. Just like He got me ready for that test just moments before. He knew the page I needed to turn to and got me ready. He knows what you need. He'll get you ready. Pray and ask Him to help you. Because, you know, if you're not prepared, you're going to be scrambling. When you're not prepared, what's it do? It creates stress in your life. It may cause some embarrassment in your life. You'll lose some blessings or rewards. But when you're prepared, I tell you, when you're prepared, it helps to increase your faith. Because when you know you've done what you can do, now you're in a position where you can trust God and God can pour His provision out upon you. Because He always does His part, doesn't He? He always does. Always does His part. Colossians 3:23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." You see, Christians should be the best employees that there is on any job.
Amen.
You should be the very best because you're a Christian. Because why? Because you're working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. You're not working for your boss. He's there. I mean, you're working for Him. But your ultimate boss is always the Lord. That's who you're working for. And you are doing your very best for Him. So that means if you've got a mean boss, you can still do your very best because He's not really the one you're working for.
Amen.
You're working for the Lord, and He'll bless you. I know it's hard if you have a mean boss. If you've ever had a mean boss, oh, that's tough. That's tough. I remember when Jonathan worked down in, he was a band director down in Houston, he had a mean boss over him. And that was hard for me. You know, I prayed about it. You know, here he's going to have all these months of this really hard, harsh man. But it wasn't a few months. God removed that man. God will take care of you. You keep your heart right. You do your best. If that person doesn't repent, God will take care of it. He will. God will guide you by His Holy Spirit in making decisions at work. He'll guide you. When you're at work and you don't know what to do, you pray and let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you. You know, back when I was a school teacher, to me the most important time of preparation was the week before the students got there. If you're unaware, you know, the teachers come back 1 week before the students. That was the most vital week for me because that was my week of preparation. That was the week I planned out what I was going to be doing the whole year. I did, you know, I had all these classes I taught, plus I added in 5 musicals I did every year. So I had to pick them all out and plan out all the rehearsals and everything. But, you know, I didn't do that on my own strength. That was overwhelming to me. What did I do? I would go to that classroom as I was praying. I would pray, and I said, "Now, Lord, you help me pick the right musicals for this year." He said, "Does God care about that?" Well, yes, because that's my job. I'm working for Him. I'm doing the best for Him. And you might say, "Well, God doesn't care about these. How am I going to balance all these books?" You pray, "God, help me to balance these books today. Show me how to do a better job. Show me in sales. Lord, I need to sell this many, have this many sales today." Pray and ask God. Sometimes we put God in a box that's just for what we consider to be churchy things. But God wants to be involved in every aspect of our life. Because remember, as we're working for the Lord, and He'll show you these things. So see, when I was teaching school that week before, I would pray and I would ask God, "Show me what to do." And so He helped me, and the Holy Spirit would guide me what to pick and what to do. And then my year was laid out, and it would go smoothly. It would go well. The Holy Spirit will guide and direct you. God will help you because He wants you to be the best at your job. He wants you to have great favor and to have success. So God will prepare you for what lies ahead. He prepares you through prayer. He prepares you through the Word. He prepares you as you read good books. He prepares you by regularly attending church services. He guides you by His Holy Spirit. Now, you can do all those things, but you can sabotage all your efforts and all your preparation with sin in your life. I want to caution you, don't take a break from doing the right thing. Don't just take a break and say, "Well, you know, I've been good for a while, I can do this." Sin is bad.
Amen.
You know, I've heard people say, "I'm a good person, I just have this one bad thing I do, so I think it's okay." But you know that one bad thing, it opens the door for the devil to come in and bring destruction in your life. Think about the Garden of Eden. Wasn't it a beautiful, perfect place? It took just one sin to mess it all up. One sin. We need to remember, what did sin bring? It brought death. And what did it take to clean up all that mess that sin brought into our world? It took Jesus' blood. He had to suffer horribly and die for us to take care of sin. So see, sin is bad. Any sin is bad, and we can't compromise. Now, I know sometimes we just mess up and we repent, but I'm talking about willingly deciding, "I'm going to do this sin because, you know, I've been good for a while, and it's okay if I do this." I tell you, pornography brings death. Don't look at it. I know when you're on the computer, click, click, and there it is. Don't do it. Don't do it. It'll bring death into your life. Sex outside of marriage, it'll bring death. I know the TV shines and says, "Oh, it's okay. Everybody does it. It's 2014. It's 2014. It's, you know, you're old-fashioned." It brings death into your life. all kinds of complications. A poor diet, choosing to eat bad, gonna bring death into your life. You know what sin does? It makes you weak and keeps you from being prepared with what you're gonna have to face. It'll make you weak and you won't be prepared. It doesn't matter how much you pray that morning, but that afternoon you choose to do something you know you shouldn't be doing, it'll weaken you. Another thing that will weaken you and keep you from and mess up all your efforts to prepare is procrastination and laziness. Being lazy or procrastinating, not doing what you know you should be doing, not preparing is a form of laziness. I want to read in the book of Matthew chapter 25 a parable Jesus told. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money." Now here we have 3 men. They have a choice. One has 5 talents, one has 2, and one has 1. The one with the 5 and the one with the 2, they did something. They worked and they gained more. And they got a reward. In fact, they both received the same reward. Matthew 25:21 says, "His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" That sounds good. I want to hear that, don't you? But I've worked and I have a reward. But then there was the one that had 1 talent. He didn't do anything. His excuse was he was afraid. He allowed fear to keep him from doing what he should have been doing. And this is what he said, verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant." I never want those words spoken over me. Wicked and lazy. What's wicked and lazy? Not doing what you're supposed to do. That's wicked. That's lazy. So what did he do? That he took that talent from him and gave it to somebody else. And verse 30 said, he said, "Cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Doesn't sound very good. Don't want to go there. But laziness is a sin. I'm telling you, it will cost you something. It will cost you something. It will cost you much, much more than that little bit of rest you got from being lazy. Billy Graham said, here's a quote. He said, "Satan doesn't need for us to fall into gross sin in order to defeat us. A large dose of laziness will do the trick just as well." So don't be lazy. Stop putting things off. See, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about spiritual gifts, and it makes it very clear that every Christian has been given some type of gift. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "The manifestation of Spirit is given to each one." Now notice that phrase. Gifts are given to each one for the profit of all. You have been given gifts so that you can minister and help other people. Everybody has been given a gift to be minister and give out to other people. I'm going to kind of skip through here real fast. Some are given the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues. Then down in verse 11, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things," talking about all the gifts that God has given you, "distributing to each one as he wills." Everybody has been given a gift. Nowhere in Scripture do I see an example of someone who didn't get one. Nowhere in Scripture do I see an example of somebody who's just supposed to sit there and do nothing. I don't see any examples of people, some that are just supposed to sit and receive. And that's all. We're supposed to give. We're supposed to help other people do things to help others. People are what is important to God. God loves people. And he wants his people to help other people. So are you prepared? Are you ready to be used by God? You can begin with the smallest things. You can call somebody and encourage them. This is if you don't want the confrontation, you can text somebody an encouraging message. You can text them a scripture. How easy is that? Here's something everybody can do. You can be a friend to someone new at church.
Amen.
You know, if you'll do some of those things, God will increase your talents and help you to be able to do more things to help other people. You see, there's great joy in helping others. There's nothing like it. Don't be like the wicked, lazy servant who does nothing. I remember the first time as when I was a teenager that when God used me to minister the Word of God to some other people. It was on a Wednesday night. I came home from school. And, you know, normally when I came home from school, I would watch TV. But this day, for some reason, I decided I was going to read my Bible. So I read my Bible. And then, of course, Wednesday night's church. So we can go to church, and I'll go into the youth service. And the youth pastor preached a message. And inside of me, I knew I was supposed to share what I read earlier that day in my Bible. So at the end of the message, I got up and asked the youth pastor, and he said, yes, share it. So I got up, and I shared what God had given me that afternoon. And I tell you, we had the most powerful altar service that night. It was so amazing. It was really, truly amazing. But, you know, I thought, you know, that would have never happened if I hadn't sat down to read my Bible. If I had just gotten home and watched Gilligan's Island like I normally do, that would have been fun. But, oh, it was so much better to be used by God to minister to others and see lives changed. I had no idea. I just spent some time with God and He used me. If you'll just spend some time with God, He'll use you. I've never regretted being used by God to help someone, but I do remember some times when I felt impressed to pray with somebody or to do something, and I didn't do it, and oh, such regret. And so, some powerful regret in some ways. As I can think back, I thought, God, I didn't do what You said to do, and that could have really helped that person. Why didn't I? I was afraid. I wasn't prepared. Let's be prepared. So when was the last time you made a new friend at church? If someone new walks through the door, are you ready? Are you prepared to make a friend? You know, that could make a difference in lots of lives. And you could be missing out on your new best friend. Your new best friend could be sitting in this room and you just don't know it because you haven't met them. Or they may come this next Sunday. You know, we're fixing to move into our new building. Isn't it exciting? How many have seen it? Oh, it is so fun to drive by and see. It is so exciting. But, you know, when we move into that building, there's going to be a lot of new people. And some people will just come one time. If they don't make a connection, they'll not come back. We want them to come back. They need to make a connection. God will have people for you to connect with, and you need to watch. You can't connect with everybody that comes in the door. It doesn't work that way. Mark and I, we can't be best friends to everybody that comes to the church. After service tonight, I won't be able to talk to everybody for a few minutes. It doesn't work that way. We're a body. We're a body ministry. Anyway, what I'm going to say is, though, when new people come in, you watch. God will, the Holy Spirit, He will impress you to go and meet somebody and say something to somebody. And that might be your new best friend. That might be somebody that makes a difference in an entire family. Just simply introducing yourself, asking them out to dinner, to lunch. You don't know. God knows, though. Are you going to be prepared? Are you going to be ready when we move to that new building? Hope that you are. Because you'll miss out on a blessing if you don't. Because, you know, we're going to grow when we get in that new building. Some of you, God's been dealing with you about opening up your home to be a home for a growth group. The Lord's been ministering to some of you saying, you know, you need to get involved in a group. And once you get involved, because being involved in a group helps other people. And God might be wanting to raise you up to be a leader. We need more leaders. We need more groups. Are you willing? We will allow God to prepare you. He's not going to throw you in until you're ready. Allow Him to prepare you. He'll prepare you. Are you listening? Are you listening? Oh, there's so many distractions. There's so many things that can distract you. There's an interesting story about the prophet Elijah. You know, Elijah was a mighty man. He did awesome miracles and things. God used him so mightily. But there's a story about him in 1 Kings chapter 19. He's very discouraged. He is distraught. It says here, it's in verse 10, He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. And he had been. He had done some great and mighty things. He'd been, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, tore down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He is so upset. You know, he's here, he's tried to teach them about God, and people are turning away, and they're not serving the Lord. He's just so, so discouraged. So then he said, the Lord told him, go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And then he goes on, and the Lord, in this still small voice, he tells Elijah what he should do. He gives him instructions and what he's supposed to do, and he encourages him. My whole point in the whole thing is that so much of the time, God speaks to us in a still small voice. And if you don't get to a place where you can hear it, you allow distractions and other things to come in, and you'll not hear that voice. It's a still small voice. So easily you can cover it up or ignore it. Have you ever thought, you know, something, you did something and something worked out wrong, and you thought, you know, something inside of me said I should do it this other way. But you kind of ignored it. It was the Lord trying to tell us. To be ready requires preparation. Jesus needed time for preparation. It says in the scripture that he often withdrew himself away from the crowds to get alone with his Father to pray. Amen. If he needed it, don't we? We need to pull ourselves away, spend some time with the Lord and pray. He will prepare us. He will guide us. I want to go back to the verse we started with, John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. I know that God is preparing me for some exciting things, things he wants me to do. But the magnitude with which God will use me is going to depend on whether or not I'm willing to prepare. My question for you tonight, are you willing to prepare? Are you willing to get ready? God has things for you to do. But it won't happen if the books and if the Bible stays on the shelf. If you find yourself Sunday, you have no idea where your Bible is and you can't find it because it's been the previous Sunday before you laid it down when you came in from church, something's wrong. We've all been there, haven't we? So let it sit on the shelf. Let God prepare. Amen.